He could be 50. Life has aged him beyond his years. A shopping cart carries everything he owns. Here he comes, toward you. What you think you know about how he got here is probably wrong. Don't let homelessness assumptions get in the way of homelessness solutions. Go to CanadaCanDoIt.ca. Help the Canadian Alliance to End Homelessness.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby and streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. This is our holiday show, and we are going to be having a very interesting discussion about what it means, gratitude. Some of the things, you know, a lot of the songs talk about comfort and joy. What are you hoping for? What does joy mean? We have some guests and friends that are dropping in. Karen Van Busen, Kari Koo, both of them are members that you've heard at some time from Eco Wisdom. We have a couple of other people who are musicians that will be dropping in. But today we want to really think a little bit about what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for in this world where everybody's talking about doom and gloom? What do you grateful for? So Karen, I'd like for you to introduce just a little. Karen is also in radio. She's a radio woman. So tell us a little bit about your background and interests.
My interest in radio background goes back over 10 years. I got involved with online friendship service for disabled that was via Ontario, and they started a little radio show there, and through the chat there I got to know a few other people through internet radio. I know people from all over the world, and I'm usually on Radio Vault, which is on 365 Live. So it's not Radio Vault, but Vault Tunes, and I'm usually on the air with Freddie on every second Sunday. And I go by the name of Punkin or Punky and Freddy Show. So that's about it. And it's usually about 8 Central till. I'm losing track, but it's from about 3 till 5 Pacific time. You can figure out the time changes there. Sorry. And my name is Karen Van Busen.
Okay, Karen, we're going to be talking with you more about what are you grateful for and some of the differences that you've said by having radio available to people, types of friendships and services that you do. But I'm going to introduce Carl into our big stage. Kari Koo. Kari is the director of Eco Wisdom. Some of you have heard some of the Eco Wisdom conversations. We know it's a nature-based program that's helped many people to have a healthier, more enjoyable life. Welcome, Kari.
Thank you, Charlotte. It's nice to be here with friends. Yeah.
I've been talking all weekend about nature-based healing and power of your imagination. Just for anyone who hasn't heard in any of our previous conversations, what is nature healing all about?
You know what? For me, I think it's about moving into a reciprocal relationship with the earth and recognizing our place as part of nature, and that our diversity is celebrated and reflected back to us, because that's what we see. And that's what we observe and move when we move through the forest. We're not seeing all the trees lined up straight and all the same, you know, size, blah, blah, blah. There's a real mix, and it's dynamic, and there's an interdependence. And so I think the healing comes from recognizing that we are okay. And in our programs, we move through a number of, you know, brilliant authors' works such as Robin Wall Kimmerer. And we talk about this feeling of enoughness. That's a term that Robin talks about. And it's one that we move into. And when you start to feel like you have enough, like, I'm not discounting that there are people that are really suffering, and there's poverty and people looking for food, you know, food and housing, and these are real issues. But once we get those things addressed, if we are fortunate enough to have those things addressed, there are still people that feel that unsettledness, right?
Right.
And so I think that nature can bring us to a place of enoughness and self-acceptance. Yeah. And community, right? Because the trees actually share resources. And we learn in the eco-wisdom community that we can do things together. We don't have to do things on our own. And if we live with disability or chronic illness and we have fluctuating symptoms, if we do something with somebody, you know, we have, you know, somebody's got our back and we've got somebody else's back, and we can do it together. And there's a real beauty in that. Yeah. It's healing. It's healing to know that we can be how we are, and that's okay. Yeah.
I was talking with someone about this research that's shown that walking 20 minutes in nature or sitting by a tree actually helps with people's blood pressure. It helps with just their decrease in their anxiety. This, especially if you live in a place like Vancouver, Alberta, any of our modern cities, there's so much different noise and so many things that generate anxiety, along with the evening's news telling you about how bad things are going to be. Both of you have had the experience and convinced me that sitting next to a tree, you could communicate with the tree and you could feel things from the tree that would lift your emotions and have meta with the tree. What do you think about the idea of trees being able to talk or communicate with us?
Well, I'll jump in first, okay, Punky, and then you can hop on.
Okay.
And so I just think that there is a place for imagination. Imagination is the spark and the beginning of potential. And so when we are entering into a relationship with a tree, we can invite imagination. A lot of scientists use imagination to try to understand how things might be working in the forest. For example, the work of Suzanne Simard, you know, looking at tracing elements moving from one tree to another. And I think her work, you know, in her book, The Mother Tree, she talks about just really bringing a different perspective to the science of forestry. And I think that's connected to imagination. And I also think about, you know, neuroscience and how when we imagine ourselves in a place, you know, there's all kinds of things that happen in our bodies physiologically that are, you know, elements of our body, aspects of our body, systems are acting as if we are in the place that we are imagining. And so there is this really delicate balance and intersection between reality and imagination. And so, you know, that's one aspect of having conversations of trees, which is really important. But I've also found that when I've gone on silent retreat and I've just taken words out of my day to day, I start to then form ways of communicating that are more direct and aren't transmitted or translated through language. And I think that's sort of, again, it's imagination. It's being open to different ways of being in the world. It's hard in our day-to-day lives to find moments of being silent, let alone having, you know, multiple days or a week or 2 weeks of silence in nature. But there are things that happen. We do become transformed in the company of trees. Yeah.
Yeah, but speaking of transformation, there was something that Karen and I were talking about. We said we're both in BC or in a city where we could get together for tea or to visit. And she said, are you allergic to cats? And I said, well, I used to be, but there was a point of, you know, being able to visit my daughter where I couldn't come because I got so sick. I had to be rushed to the hospital, et cetera. So there was a day that I was visiting and I was sitting across from one of the cats. And I looked in the cat's eyes and the cat held my glaze. Sometimes cats shake their heads and stuff, but cat held my glaze. And I said, I'm rearranging. And I really imagined and felt rearranging things in my body so I would not be allergic. Well, that was in 2013. I have not had a trip to a hospital. I moved beyond babysitting the cats when my daughter and family were traveling to, you know, living with her with the cats, and I haven't had any episodes. So just being able to have the power of our imagination to imagine that you could sit and you could transfer and move things around in your body and then feel it and celebrate it and not be worried. I'm not worried about, and I'm worried about, you know, if I visit Punky, will I not be allergic to her cat? Does it last? But I have been around other animals since that happened, and I haven't had the wheezing, you know, the just total collapse of my system. So I think that imagination and the things that happen out in nature, when you're able to be quiet and really be next to a tree and feel the energy of the tree and let your body feels that, you could also imagine other things happening in your body, other things shifting. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree totally there. I am grateful because I was able to go to my favorite sit spot and actually sit and see the ocean and be with trees. I wasn't there that long, but for me nowadays, every minute counts. And on Saturday, I was so fed up about being inside and having told myself, not feeling so well, I just decided, whatever will happen, I'll go outside for. So today was the first day I was able to go out without too much problem. And I've been having fun with it. I use my imagination. I'm not going to let things bug me.
And, you know, I want to say, if it's okay, Charlotte, I want to jump in and say, you know, Punky, Karen, when you talk about going in to your sit spot by the ocean and you start describing these experiences, it's like I'm there with you. And so this is another extension of imagination and what it can do to bring us together. So I really love hearing other people's experiences of, you know, finding ways of having regular connection with nature.
I haven't had a chance to be outside with nature for a while because of my situation with the cold and that. But yeah, if I didn't know about certain things about the cold, I didn't have to take over drug things. I just took my regular vitamin. I might have taken extra doses of vitamin C and D for about a day or two, and I recovered faster from the cold than David did, my fiance. So,
wow. I was also reminded, Punky, of the last time we had an EcoWisdom community gathering, and Dave had that big bonfire outside going, and that's when you were really inside a lot, and you were talking about how nice it was for you to connect with the bonfire through the Zoom meeting. And it's another way that we can share the experiences with one another.
Yes. Yeah, that definitely so. But like, I was surprised that I recovered from it within 2 or 3 days. Okay, I had a cough and I had to spit out some phlegm, but I wasn't coughing that often. I was just coughing when I needed to get the phlegm out of me. And I was well enough to be a bit more mobile within a week, which was a big surprise to me.
That's great. That's great, Punky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A big surprise to me. Well, speaking of, I have a lot of things to be grateful for, but I was 3 weeks ago, I was in Los Angeles, and it was really warm. And then the morning that I flew here, Vancouver was totally encased in fog. In fact, I thought, how is the taxi going to drive? How is anybody going to drive through it? And I realized, you know, I was letting fear overcome me. So, I've had an experience of having a spinal bruise and a brain hematoma from an accident, and the cold dampness used to make my body locked. Now, I don't know whether it was so much that I believed and had experienced it that my body would lock every time I would be in the fog. So I tried something else that I shared with a few people, maybe some of the people listening to Salua, the Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon show, that I said, before you get out of bed in the morning, look outside and imagine a warm, enjoyable day. Imagine feeling the earth. Imagine the atmosphere being friendly. And when I went outside, nothing locked up. It was very foggy outside. The same thing 4 years ago, I would have gone out and I would have become immobile, because in my head, one of the things the doctor said, avoid cold, moist air, avoid the fog, avoid all these things to avoid. So I think we have to be careful in how we listen and even question someone who's telling us to prepare for pain. I was, while I was in LA, I had a friend that had a surgery, and I was sitting in the room where families were waiting for the surgery to get the news. And I heard at least 6 of these teams come out and say to the person, well, the next 3 or 4 months are going to be tough. They're going to have to tough it out. There'll be a lot of pain. And so I think that we have to encourage each other, encourage people to use their imagination in a different way. Imagine if you didn't have pain. Imagine if you were able to massage. Imagine if you took a hot shower. Imagine if you had a plant that you could sit and look at and see how radiant it is. Imagine not being overwhelmed by pain. And imagine instead of it being 3 months, it might be 2 months, to just put those possibilities, the power of imagination, and also finding out plants. Within plants, many plants have healing properties. Many plants have things that we don't get the education at our public schools. But Carrie, what are some of the ways people are getting educated or through Eco Wisdom can learn about some of the plants that people have used that have been healing?
You know, this is a really fascinating topic. And I wanted to say that in Buddhist teachings, there's a concept called the second arrow. And it's, we're not denying that someone is in pain and that there is a physiological, you know, issue going on. And we're not saying that you can imagine your problems going away. But the human mind has a way of bringing more suffering to any particular experience, including that of pain or tension in the body, and then the physiological experience, negative experience, is exaggerated. And this is where imagination, this is where mindfulness and nature can play a really important role. And I speak from direct experience of being in severe chronic pain for a number of years before finding relief, years and years and years. And We know that the colors of blue and green can calm the nervous system. We know that the gentle movements of water and the little sparkles of light on the water, the sounds of wind, water, and birds, these things can also act to calm the nervous system. And so when we can bring that and maybe a little bit of imagination, a little bit of creativity, a little bit of open-heartedness to connecting to the tree and being in the company of tree and not feeling so alone with the pain. All of these things can help us to remove that second arrow. I certainly found that just spending quiet time in nature really helped me with not feeling alone with my pain. And it also, when I acquired a concussion, it did so much, just looking at these gentle movements of the tall grasses blowing in the wind, this gentle circular motions of branches at their ends, sort of moving in a circular motion really, really gently. These really gentle movements help just calm, brings this beautiful calmness and comfort to my body and mind. You were asking about eco-wisdom, and we do have a guest educator who is a naturopath, and she comes in and talks about all of these things that we conceive of as weeds. And she specifically looks at weeds because we think, you know, we sort of categorize good plants and bad plants, and weeds are bad plants. And she's like, no, they're healing. Like, all of these plants have healing properties. And so we learn about like yarrow and plantain and all of these wonderful healing properties. And then we also have our indigenous nature and forest therapy guide and trainer, Carolyn Crowley, who comes and talks about sort of the medicinal and spiritual practice and cultural practices with certain kinds of teas, like cedar tea, for example, from an indigenous perspective. So, there's lots of interesting ideas out there, for sure.
Another interesting thing that is a healing practice, and it's so simple, it sometimes doesn't get recognized as a healing practice, but it's one of the things that I learned in poetry therapy. I went through a lot of therapies working to be independent of a wheelchair and be independent of excruciating pain. And one of them was writing poetry, and poetry is part of the creative expressions. One of the other personal care things that eco-wisdom encourages people to do. But when you talked about the sounds, the sound of a tree motivated me, drove me to write this particular poem. And it's called Rustling Evokes Resolution. Rustling, rustling. Did you hear it? That big elm tree sounds like the ocean roaring to me. Stealthily and steadfastly, you bestow confidence in waves, seeding gratitude for yet another day to feel your power. Little birds being fed in the arms of your branches greet sunrise and sunset, chirping joyfully about your power, signaling us it's time to dream and project, sealing our commitment to reflect and recommit. To share quiet our ebullient hugs, to shamelessly, boldly share our enthusiasm to remember. You were here first, enabling us to sweetly slumber, waking up with the confidence to resist lumber mills for paper. Like me, the welcoming ways of nearby bodies of water, your rustling draws us to come outside singing, engaging the life support of kindred souls, embracing the eternal support of interconnected beings. And that was just rustling from sitting out that afternoon and hearing the rustling. It generated a poem.
That's beautiful.
You talked about contemplation. Aside from, and many of your events and activities are workshops, there's a writing or a creative experience, but then contemplation. How do you think contemplation helps people not feel like they're just hurtling down a hole in time?
I think contemplation is sort of about, it's a way of being, and we do it together in community with one another, where we're witnessing one another and we're practicing receiving what the person is sharing with an open heart. And then we take that into our interactions in the forest, whether it's with a blossom or a bird or a tree or the light streaming down, where there's this real receptivity. And it takes us in that sort of liminal space. It invites us to be quiet and yet receptive and open to the potential, right? Again, imagination, like just being open to letting something unfold and being entirely enraptured with, you know, the miracle of what is before us, right? Whether it is the texture of moss that's growing out of the bark of a tree, or whether it's the light streaming down through the canopy of leaves above, and bringing these radiant streams of light, or whether it's the sound of the trickling water in a stream. When we pause and we bring that contemplative stance, we get to a place where we can receive what the miracle of what is, and also maybe start to understand our connection to the miracle of what is, you know, and to nature, yes, and that, and beyond nature, or an expanded view of nature that includes, for example, wind and the stars and maybe galaxies, a divine being or essence, which might be a tree for some people or something else for other people. Yeah.
And that comes out in the music. I know, Punky, you use music within your show. Do you find music changes the atmosphere or brings about a particular energy to callers in?
Yes, it does. We usually go through a theme or event that's going on within the month. Like this month, it would be Christmas, so we had a Christmas show, and we would be talking about stuff having to do with Christmas, and sometimes even the songs, about the songs we were playing. So, yeah, it does invoke imagination and memory and emotion.
You know, from morning until evening, I've noticed, I mean, I hadn't listened to the news for a long time, but in the last couple of weeks I listened and I noticed almost every half an hour they repeat and repeat the same things.
Yes.
And so I think that one of the simple blessings or encouragements we can give people is playing music and letting people just explore or feel the music. Sometimes listening to music with your eyes closed, or even moving, using music to do the counts when you're trying to do 1,000 steps, but you know, just walking around doesn't get it. But if you have some music, you don't notice the count. I've looked at my phone at the step counter and I thought, wow, while I was bouncing and dancing, I did 1,500 steps. Whereas the previous day, you know, I took a little walk, but I didn't do as many, because music, I find, helps, as you talked about, it helps the our brain centers, it helps our energy centers, it helps our happiness centers. And so it's a good thing right now in Vancouver. In most cities, there is so much music, every different religious or faith group, different ethnicities or communities have got their own music. There is a version of several Christmas songs that Cor Leone played. One of them is Angels We Have Heard on High. We're going to listen to that because the conductor commissioned someone to write a version where people would hear the song differently, and it really wouldn't matter.